what do you say you and me take a walk over to the tavern?
Just pull up a chair.
A little something to eat.
Welcome to the Mouse and Castles.
Come on, Johnny, what are we waiting for?
This is a gathering place for fans of all things Disney. So sit back,
chow down,
have some sips, and chit-chat about the magical world created by Walt Disney.
For too long, I've been parched of thirst and unable to quench it.
Well, hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Mouse and Castle podcast. Come on in. Pull up a chair. Grab a pint. Let's talk some Disney. I'm your host, Riley Blanton. So glad to have you back. So glad to be back. It's been a very Disney sort of year. Or at least it's about to be. That's true. And one reason it's about to be is the man on the other side of the Skype machine, Mr. Aaron Goins. How's it going, Aaron?
Going good, Riley.
Are you ready for next weekend?
I am ready for this weekend.
That's, I guess, true. That is this coming weekend as we record this.
Let's hope
Monday.
You got the right flights.
Disney's happening. It's a Disney bachelor party planned by Aaron Goins.
Yes, that's true.
I have no idea really what we're doing. I just know where we're staying. I don't even know which parks we're going to, what days.
I have it all planned out.
Good.
We're going to hit some really good night spots.
Okay, I like it.
And some great restaurants. So, yeah, it's going to be great. But it's going to be all within Disney. We're not going to leave. We're going to get to Disney. Mm-hmm. We're staying at a Disney, you know, associated hotel at the Swan and Dolphin. But
yep, never stayed there. Looking forward to it.
Walking distance to Epcot. We're basically not going to leave the property for the entire weekend, but we're going to have a great time.
I can't wait. I promise. I'm not going to make this whole segment about me. But I do want to know, like, when it comes to planning a guy's weekend at Disney, which, by the way, everyone's asking me, as I was making arrangements at work, we're kind of stretched on manning issues and other, like, work-related stuff with the day job. But I was able to swing. There's Aaron, you have no idea. Like three times, very nearly, due to prior existing military contracts. We'll just put it that way. From speaking broadly, I almost didn't make it like three times in the last 2 weeks, and I almost had to cancel plans. Like, well, guys, have fun without me. But it all worked out sort of last minute, and I am still coming down to Disney, and I'm very excited about it. But what as people ask me, like, so why are you like? You really need to get off that for those days of work, right? And I was like, yes, it's really important. It's my bachelor party. Like, oh yeah, okay. Where are you going? Vegas? You going to New York City? Maybe San Diego? And I'm like, no, I'm going to Epcot. And I basically tell anyone who asks, I have like, because everyone always asks, so where are you going? What you going to be doing? It's going to be crazy, right? And I'm like, all you need to know, and I've said this phrase about 50 times at this point, all you need to know about me as a person is that I'm going to Epcot for my bachelor party. That's all you need to know about me as a person. So I say all that to say, what is it like planning a guy's trip to Disney? Because you're a big Disney planner. What's the difference versus like planning for a big group or for family time?
I mean, it was really no problem at all, honestly. There were some spots that came up in my head right away. There's a lot of things to do at Disney that are not necessarily kid-centric, especially with, you know, a lot of the things to do at Epcot or even, you know, Disney Springs itself. You know, there's a lot of, you know, restaurants and bars, you know, some after-hours type of activities. So, yeah, I mean, I think there were a couple spots that I thought of right away on the boardwalk and at Disney Springs that we could hit. I have a reservation at a couple different spots in a restaurant at Epcot that I think is going to be cool. So, I mean, but we're still going to do all the kid stuff too, right? Mm-hmm. Like we're still, you know, I still got a fast pass for the Frozen ride.
Exactly. You know? Well done, sir.
You can't not.
No, you can't not. Listen, for the first time in forever. Yeah, I can't wait, man. I'm sure we'll come back and kind of maybe talk about the experience a little bit on the podcast later. I don't think any recording's going to happen though. Sorry, guys. But we can talk about it.
We'll have a good time.
Yeah.
It's not going to be Vegas, you know, but you know what? I'm not a Vegas kind of guy.
No, neither am I. So, exactly.
We'll,
All right.
I think that's one thing that people don't realize about Disney is that you can go to Disney and still just do adult things.
And that's something that they've really mastered over the years is, and I think that there's even some history behind it of like, what was, there's some big attraction, famously that opened up nearby that was like catered for like adults and parents to go hang after a day at the parks, right? Nightlife.
So Downtown Disney used to have an area called Pleasure Island.
That's what I'm thinking of, Pleasure Island.
That had like clubs and all of that, and they did end up shutting that down.
Yeah, that's too much fun.
But I actually went, like I was around at that time going to Disney Springs, or I guess what was called Downtown Disney back then, which is what is now Disney Springs. And that area is still there, so a lot of the restaurants and stuff that you see kind of in that area of what used to be. So it's not like they demolished and like didn't do anything with that area. So a lot of the stuff that you see there now, and I think there might even be a carryover or two that still exist that were part of Pleasure Island. So
I can't wait, man. It's gonna be a great weekend. But like I said, this year's gotten off to a bit of a Disney start because not only we have this trip upcoming, but last night. Was I in the metropolis of Greenville, South Carolina, about 2 hours from where I live, watching Aladdin, the Broadway tour.
And how all you gotta do is rub that lamp, and then I'll say, Mr.
Man, I gotta say, Will Smith was not there. I was terribly disappointed. Yeah, I was
gonna say, is that the tour with Will Smith?
That would be pretty great, but no, it was not. It is the first Broadway show I've ever seen. I've never been to see a show on Broadway. I've been in the few times I've been up to New York City. It's something I've always wanted to do. I love musical theater. I love musicals. Just never had a chance. And Aladdin's on tour right now. And my fiance, she'd seen it in New York a couple years back, loved it. And saw an Instagram ad, which by the way proves that it works, by the way, these Instagram ads. They just have to be relevant enough. She saw that, they're going to be in Greenville the same weekend as we were traveling. We took taken off work and driving back to Atlanta for our couple's wedding shower. And we're like, we were driving back on Sunday and we're like, well, it's only an extra hour or so of driving. And so she planned a big sort of date night in Greenville, which I was, by the way, just total aside. If we have any Mouse and Castle listeners in the Greenville, South Carolina, I was very impressed. Great little town, Greenville, the little downtown area.
In Greenville, and they only say nice things about it.
It was a phenomenal town. I loved the downtown area. We went to this amazing Indian place. We didn't even really think about the cultural similarities. We just wanted Indian, and then went to the show, and it was amazing. It was just like a high point of culture in a place I was not expecting it. So there you go. Kudos,
that's
Greenville,
really cool.
South Carolina.
The idea of these Broadway tours is something that is like a really cool idea, because then if you you don't necessarily have access to go up to Broadway in New York, a lot of these shows are starting to travel.
Yeah.
And that's how I saw Hamilton. Mm-hmm. Last year I was able to see Hamilton, and then I recently went up and saw a show on Broadway over my birthday weekend. But I've never actually seen a Disney Broadway show, surprisingly. So I have no excuse, because I literally am like a 2-hour train ride from New York City.
This is true. So. You went for Baby Yoda, so you got to go for Frozen. Frozen's like the next one we want. We want to watch Hamilton, and we want to do although Frozen's going on tour too. So we might try to catch Frozen in Charlotte later this year. It'll be kind of in the area. But it's a great, here's the thing, Broadway, I don't know the numbers or the economics behind how Broadway is doing as an industry or how theater entertainment is, but all I know is in this classic theater that probably sat, probably about 1,500 people, 1,000 to 1,500, is a two balconies, full theater, just basically as traditional as a theater gets in terms of size. And scope and scale, it was packed. Maybe a handful of empty seats in the entire place. And It was a bunch of families, a bunch of kids came, and they were singing along with all the half of the songs. Because of course
the ones that were in the movie
but it was a spectacle, and it was this energy that I've always loved about, you know, going to the opening night of the movies times 10. Like that's the energy of seeing a live show. And the there are some great little Easter eggs. The genie did a thing where he dramatically pulled out, in his introductory scene, he whipped out a prop that was going to be the lamp, as he's trying to demonstrate, that all you got to do is rub this lamp. And he pulled out a Clemson cap just to get applause and boos from the audience. So it's just like some fun little things like that, that they kind of made it more local. But it was obvious that it was a well-rehearsed machine. All of the sets, props, it was colorful. It was just a spectacle. It's what I've always imagined like a big Broadway show would be. This is the nature of it. It takes some getting used to, for the acting style is very over the top, but that's because they're projecting to the back of the theater. So it's a lot of very big overacting kind of moments, but it worked, especially for a lot of the kids. I really noticed a lot of the kids having a great time. My favorite part was the music. I loved all the music, and I loved some of the new music was great too, but it was just fascinating to experience something that I've never experienced before, and that is, you know, a big Broadway show, but see how Aladdin has translated into it. And there's some structural changes they did to the story, whereas Abu the monkey is no longer part of the plot, but instead he has three sort of robber friends that are sort of the comedic relief. Have you seen it on Broadway? I should ask before.
No, okay. I haven't. So I'm still, I got to check, because now that I know that it's traveling, I'm curious to check to see when and if it's coming to Philadelphia. So I definitely want to see that. But I haven't ever seen a Disney Broadway show.
That's right. I was very, very impressed. And I because I want to do it credit, I'm pulling up the, if you just go to AladdinTheMusicalTour.com, they actually have all the dates. It's in Memphis, Austin, San Antonio, Kansas City. And then it's also on Broadway right now too. So it's super easy. The tickets weren't too bad either. I think they're about $60 for balcony, for us. I guess it depends on what city you're in, as to.
Oh wow, that's very affordable. Because that's part of the hesitation, because I can see there is a, you know, monetary investment when you go see a Broadway show, and the two that I've been to have been, you know, the cheapest one that I've been to is $140.
Yes.
To see. So, and then when I saw Hamilton, I don't even want to say how much I spent on those tickets, but I haven't looked at the prices and stuff for Aladdin or Frozen, Lion King, the ones that are up on Broadway right now. So I definitely need to check.
Yeah, it is. It's always pricey in New York. Like that's just the nature of it.
It's definitely a different experience. And like you were saying, it's just, you know, that the feeling of being in this really, like, that's how all the New York theaters are. And it's also how Philadelphia theaters are. It's these really like old buildings,
mm-hmm,
that are ornate. And it's just, even just being in the building alone is just such a cool, unique experience. And then to see this live production going on in front of you and all the moving parts. And it's just, it's a whole different experience that, you know, it's not the same. Like if somebody's like, oh, well, I saw Aladdin, you know, I saw live action Aladdin, I don't need to see it on Broadway. It's like, no, it's a completely different experience.
Not just the different music and stuff.
The cast literally standing in front of you, as opposed to behind a screen.
Yes, you do. And they're having fun. Like that's the thing about musical theater is it's you're seeing a bunch of people essentially performing in a way that they're made to. And it's just this sort of communal moment to see it performed. And so the Disney, I have to say, like the music and the Disney connections and the familiarity of the characters, that was just sort of like icing on the cake. If they just tried to depend on the nostalgia and hadn't put the effort in making a great show, in the choreography, the dancing, the comedy, the actual or the orchestra itself, like all of those made a great show. And the fact that it was Aladdin was kind of a bonus, would be how I described it. And also, just for fun fact, if you're in Texas, the San Antonio tickets, like balcony seats are $35, orchestra seats are $50. If you want like orchestra one, it's like $110, and that's about as to $140. That's the most expensive ticket, basically. That's insane. That's great compared to Broadway prices. But I guess it was this moment. I won't go into who was the probably, I will say this though, the standout actor was not the genie, who is portrayed by Michael James Scott, who's amazing. He's a crowd favorite, but the standout star was Rodney Ingram, who plays Aladdin. Now, he gets the comedy, and he gets the romance and the adventure, the acrobatic elements of the character, the dancing routines, the opening number, One Jump. He's literally jumping around the stage as they have prop buildings moving around on stage. It's crazy, and he's singing live while he's doing it. And I'm just like, how's this guy still doing it? But the it was in that opening number, his first number, One Jump Ahead, that you could really just hear an incredible performance vocally. And as someone who I love music, I love musical theater, I've listened to soundtracks for ages, his ability to have complete control of soft singing, strong singing, pitch, while dancing and jumping around stage, the dude was incredible. So I stand out. That was probably the best part. There we go.
Nice.
Yeah.
So you're saying highly recommended.
Highly recommended, especially if it's coming to your city. And it's a thing. We had such a great time. We're going to make it sort of our new date night thing. We're going to like try to catch some of these shows as they go on tour, because even in this, you know, in our small little town in South Carolina, we got to drive an hour to Columbia or 2 hours to Greenville or 2 hours to Charlotte. It's worth it. Like it's a wonderful, it feels, not to get all mushy mushy, but it feels like you're a part of society again in a way that sometimes I think we forget these days. In our world of social media. So I loved it. It's a great
time.
Well,
if you guys are ever up in the New York area, let me know, because I can take the train up there and we can go check out a show.
We're already planning it. We're planning an end of the year trip. It's gonna be a thing. We'll talk. I'll have my people talk to your people. It'll be a whole thing. Aaron, tell me all about what you've been up to in the world of Disney recently. Any Disney Plus? I know Mandalorian's kind of over. Have you been had a chance to be digging in?
Yeah, we haven't really talked much Disney Plus since it's
this is true
since its debut. Mm-hmm. I did enjoy The Mandalorian. That was a fun show. I know a lot of people were worried about once The Mandalorian ends, you know, well, what's going to happen? Everybody's going to cancel their Disney Plus. I think Disney was genius in that they offered all those, you know, sign up for 3 years and get it half price, you know, because now everybody's locked in. But I have kids, so it's probably different for me maybe than it would be for people that don't have kids. But it's always on at my house. It's really the go-to streaming service now, which used to be.
Oh, okay.
You know, Netflix and pretty much Netflix, I would say, because we kind of canceled Hulu a while ago. But Netflix was kind of the go-to when the kids were looking for shows to watch. And now it's all Disney Plus. My son has discovered DuckTales, the new DuckTales, not the original that I watched growing up. And he's obsessed with it. And now I've gotten into watching it with him. We were literally just watching it earlier tonight. And it's just so hilarious. So, like, if anybody hasn't watched DuckTales, the new DuckTales series, it's so funny. And a lot of really, like, recognizable voices show up in the show.
Okay.
One day my son came to me and said, "Hey, I think Hamilton is in DuckTales." And I was like, "I don't think Hamilton's, you mean, you know," I was thinking, okay, Lin-Manuel Miranda. I'm like, "I don't think he's in DuckTales, son." And he's like, "No, I think so." So we went and he turned it on to the scene with this character, and I'm listening. I'm like, it kind of sounds like him. sure enough, in the credits, there's Lin-Manuel Miranda, voice of whatever character. Well, I guess Gizmo Duck, he's the voice of. But so there's like names like that. A lot of the same cast that's in Star Wars Resistance, a lot of them carry over in there in DuckTales as well. Don Cheadle does a voice in DuckTales. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's been a really fun show.
That's crazy. That is this an original or is radar, it was this a Disney Channel thing or?
It was on Disney Channel or Disney XD. I'm not sure which one. Mm-hmm. And they did a couple seasons, and I think it's still running. I know it started in 2017.
Okay.
And I believe it's still running. But for anyone who's like a classic DuckTales fan, mm-hmm. or even like a classic Darkwing Duck fan, Tailspin, there's references to all of those shows in DuckTales, and all the villains that you liked in DuckTales, they bring them back, but in a different way. So it's really clever humor. So yeah.
Nice. Yeah. I've, Disney Plus, like, so streaming in general has dropped off for me this month because of work stuff. But, this past weekend, of course, I kind of mentioned going to Atlanta for our kind of couple shower. I was hanging around the nieces and nephews a lot. And, my sister had set up a YouTube playlist of clips of a bunch of old movies that we watched growing up, and a lot of them were Disney. And so I just started comparing, hey, how many of these are actually on Disney Plus? Most of them were not Song of the South, unfortunately. But we did have, the Davy Crockett and the River Rats, which... So I played a little bit of that for the kids, and they were all over it. They loved it, especially the Mike Fink songs. And I'm probably speaking... it sounds like I'm probably speaking in tongues to most of you guys listening. But, man, there was a golden era of 1950s, 1960s Disney live action that I remember having those VHS tapes as a kid that all my older siblings watched. And... the Mask of Zorro. That's so cool. It's like, I loved it. It was like Batman before Batman. Loved it. And so like that, I kind of went on a little journey of discovery there on Disney Plus. Like I say, I haven't had a chance to really dig in for watch time on it until this week. Of course, the return of Clone Wars. I'm 100% back in to catch the final season of the Clone Wars. Unless, who knows, maybe if it's a giant hit for Disney Plus, they'll greenlight some more episodes. Who knows?
Yeah, I did some Davy Crockett as well. I grew up watching that show.
Mm-hmm.
I believe in my youth it had some sort of revitalization because I know it's from the 50s and I didn't grow up in the 50s. I'm not that old.
I think there was an 80s, 90s renaissance as the VHS era came back for Disney republishing a lot of that content.
Yeah.
Because I don't think it can't be a coincidence.
I remember as a kid just growing up watching Davy Crockett.
Mm-hmm.
And
Run Appaloosa show called, Run. Like,
Swamp Fox. Do you remember Swamp Fox?
I can't say I remember that one, but I do remember like Run Appaloosa Run, The Fighting Prince of Donegal. Like these were all Disney movies. They were Fighting Prince of Donegal was not on Disney Plus, and I was sad.
Yeah, I haven't done a search for like, you know, all the classic titles that I remember growing up watching. I know I've come across a few. I did go through some of the original content with like the different Disney documentaries,
mm-hmm. yep.
Imagineering and stuff. I haven't watched it all, but there's some good content there. And then a lot of the Disney shorts that they're doing, the Disney and Pixar shorts, the mm-hmm. animated shorts mm-hmm. have been really good. And I've been watching through those. And then I don't know if you watch, Forky Asks a Question?
I have not.
Those are funny.
Oh, really?
Those are really funny. Yeah, they're just like really short. I think they're only like 4 or 5 minutes long each. And it's just the character of Forky from Toy Story 4 asking some, you know, random question. And then it usually spins off into something completely unrelated than the question he asked. But it's done in a very comedic way. And
nice.
Most of them are really funny and clever. And
yeah.
There's always a little after credit scene in all of them too.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Nice. That's cool. And then I just saw the trailer today had come out for a new cooking show that debuts, hosted by Angela from The Office. You seen this?
No,
it was recommended on my YouTube videos, and funny enough, me and the fiance were cooking in the kitchen at the time. I swear Google knows. Google knows.
Oh, Google knows everything.
But we were cooking our paleo dinner. This is the pre-wedding diet life. Not to make Mouse and Castle a time of confession, but anyway, there's...
You guys are paleo right now?
It's been a long time since I've had...
You're going to be able to break process. That at Disney, right?
Yes, yes. There is an exception window for each of our respective bachelor weekends.
Got it. Okay, good. I was about to cancel the trip.
Okay. Yeah, no. And don't let me go too crazy. I might go kind of crazy. It's been a long time since I've had processed sugar. Anyway, so that's a whole separate thing. Anyway, I say all that to say it actually looked pretty good, although it had an element of like them. It's like, and it's families who, you know, are coming together in a competition to make Disney themed cooking dishes, and they'll be judged by world renowned Disney chefs from the parks. I'm like, oh, this is cool. And then it cuts to like a 30-second sizzle of them trying to play it up like it's a Gordon Ramsay event, and it's and like they're trying to create drama of like the 10-year-olds trying to help their mom, and it's really forced and hilarious.
Nice. I did check out a couple of the original movies. Mm-hmm. So I did watch Lady and the Tramp.
You did? How was it?
Which I liked. Liked it. I didn't love it, but I liked it. It was pretty good. And then I watched the one that's like the Christmas movie, Noel. Mm-hmm. Didn't like that one.
Oh, gotcha.
That one felt very much like a failed attempt. Like they were making this movie that was originally meant for theaters. They knew, they could tell that it wasn't going to be a success, and they're like, well, let's just put it on Disney Plus. That's what it felt like.
Dumping ground.
Yeah. And
was it Hallmark movie level?
With some of this original content, is if that's what will end up happening. Not for all of it. I think there will be some really solid original content, but I do wonder if there's, you know, some of the movies that they, you know, they originally kind of planned for theaters, but then it's just not quite going well, but they don't want to kind of scrap it altogether. It just lands on Disney Plus.
Yeah. Was it Hallmark movie level or was it?
Yeah, I mean, for me, it was. I really didn't like it that much at all. And it had some, I mean, I like the actors that were involved in it.
Yeah.
Bill Hader.
No, I love him.
And I'm blanking on her name now.
I know who you're talking about, though.
But the girl from
Anna,
Pitch Perfect.
Anna Kendrick. Yeah,
Anna Kendrick and Bill Hader. I like them a lot. I like their movies. I think they're funny. But this one just didn't work for me.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. And that's the thing. It seems like they are kind of experimenting with... They're throwing a lot of stuff at the wall. Netflix was like this when they just started giving money to stuff to just see if it works. And it sounds like some of this is going to be hit, some of it's not. I'm guessing trying to make a 12-year-old sound like Gordon Ramsay may not work.
Kitchen, cooking together. Hi, boys. Sorry.
It's all fun and games until we lose. Then it's on.
It's gonna move on.
Gonna be close, yeah.
We gotta get these in.
Oh my god.
What we're seeing is them attempting to make these Mickey cookies and they're ruined. And she's like, oh my god.
Now I want to watch it.
Oh, did it work? Actually, no. Yeah, now that I say that, I do. We're sold. All right, I gotta hit one more story before we go, and that of course is the makeover. The Cinderella castle changes. Walk me through the
castle makeover.
The Magic Kingdom vice president personally addresses concerns about the Cinderella castle changes. That's really hard to say.
I think the concerns he was addressing weren't as much about the design or the look of the remake or the makeover, but kind of what does it mean for people that are going to be visiting the parks during that time? Because I know when they redid the castle at Disneyland, which we were able to see last time we were there, kind of when it was done, but there was a long period of time where they kind of had that thing cordoned off and you didn't really have a good view of it and you couldn't get that kind of picture that you want to get down Main Street.
Yep.
And so I think people are concerned of the same type of thing happening here. He kind of assures people that you still are going to have the restaurant inside the castle you can go to. They're not closing that down. You're still going to be able to get your iconic picture with the castle the way they're going to set it up. He said occasionally there will be some, you know, construction equipment and stuff visible, but he tried to make it sound like at least they're keeping that in mind. Nice. So that's good to hear. But for me, really, the overall thing for me is I just don't really like the look of the makeover.
Okay, so walk me through. What is exactly does this makeover entail?
So I don't know if you saw, I think in that link.
I'm looking at the picture comparison, but beyond the paint scheme, that's really the only thing I'm seeing.
So there's not a lot.
Okay.
It's not a huge, I guess it just depends on your outlook. For me, I don't love it, but they're giving it an overall paint job across the board, it looks like. So the gray that's, you know, kind of on the stone area of it's going to be like a more popping gray. The blue is going to be more popping blue, but then they're going to give kind of what is currently a bit kind of like a tannish color. They're going to kind of make that the more of the pink hue that we see at Disneyland. Gotcha. And then they're going to be basically putting gold highlights on everything across the whole castle. So right now there's a little bit of gold highlights. They're basically going to have everything gold highlights.
Gotcha. No, I'm looking at it now, which when you look at it more closely, you see it really, it seems like they're trying to, in Instagram filter terms, turn up the contrast. Like the blue is darker, deeper. The gray is darker. It stands out more against a blue Orlando sky, and then the gold trimming contrasts with each of those things more sharply. I think the argument probably is that the construction is showcased more. The shape of the spires is more readily visible. But I see what specifically are you concerned about in terms of the color scheme? I'm guessing it's the gray.
So actually for me, it's just the fact that it just looks a little too fantasy now.
Oh,
which sounds stupid because it's Disney World.
It's like, I recognize what I'm saying outside of the, you know, outside of the context of a Disney nerd podcast, people would look at me weird, but it does look too fancy.
It's just, I like the fact that it kind of had this more muted look to it that looked like a castle that could actually exist somewhere in the real world. And it's just this kind of like really epic looking construction. Now it does look like kind of a very fairy tale blingy castle. And I'm sure I'll get used to it, but it's definitely not. When I first saw the picture, and if you scroll all the way to the bottom of the article, it gives you a little bit more.
Yeah, I'm looking at that one now.
Better view of kind of what it's going to look like, and you know, it's just definitely not my preferred taste. And it's such an iconic part of that park.
Yeah,
and it's such a centerpiece that it's going to be. So you know, when you first walk in, that's what you see, and that's what you're taking pictures with. And so I think for me, when they did the makeover of the Disneyland one, it didn't really impact me that much. I didn't really care that much because I hadn't gone to Disneyland that much. But I've been to Disney World so much, and this is just such a big part of it that it's almost like, you know, they didn't even ask my permission.
Yeah, that's fair. Well,
I didn't get to vote in a poll.
Which is your favorite castle? Of the Disney parks? We'll start with the one stateside, obviously.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't seen the other ones in person. I think some of the other ones look really cool.
Yeah.
And I think that, I mean, and I would love, I have a goal of eventually going to all the international parks. But I mean, I think I'd have to say Cinderella's Castle is my favorite until I can see those others in person.
Yeah, I have a soft spot in my heart for Disneyland. I'm not going to lie. Though, I just have... there's a vibe to Disneyland that's, it's hard to put your finger on, but it's less people. This is weird to say. There's a lot of like, this is weird to say moments in this podcast, but I'm just going there. It seems less stressed than World. Magic Kingdom just seems the aura. I'm sounding like Marianne Williamson. The aura of
Nobody knows
Magic
who that
Kingdom.
Is.
Oh, that's true. That's a very specific reference, but you know what I'm talking about. It's just not to be all, I don't know.
I get what you're saying, because Disneyland, attracts the locals more.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And not as it's not as touristy.
Yeah.
Disney World is a tourist trap. And mm-hmm. so if you're, you know, I'm not a local, but I'm a, you know, I know people that are locals that go there. And one of their biggest complaints is it's just, you know, just a ton of tourists at all times. And I think that the idea of Disneyland being a little bit more chill is probably accurate. Disney World is way more expansive and has a lot more to offer.
Sure.
I prefer World over Land, but I love them both. I love to visit them both. And luckily this year I'll be able to go to both.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think change is good. And this is something that with this castle makeover, I'm saying this as I'm literally looking to my right. In my
your Lego one,
Lego,
yeah, I knew
my
it.
Lego Disney castle is sitting right here, and I'm looking at the color scheme and the gray and the white and the tan and the kind of gold spires, and I love it. That's the look that I love, and I have a representation of it in Lego here that now is going to be out of date. So,
are you going to paint each individual Lego piece just to like make sure that the hues are represent the updated canon? Is the old Disney castle now Legends? That's the question.
Right. It's now, this is now a, it's now classic, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. Something it's, like that.
And this isn't the first time they've done like a major, this is the first time in a long time they've done a major permanent update, but they've definitely done like temporary updates or for different anniversaries. And I know the 50th anniversary coming up, which is a lot of people are saying this is kind of in preparation for that.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, I get the need for it, and it probably needed some refreshing on the paint anyways. It's a little more than I would have liked to see as far as how it looks, but it is what it is.
That's fair. Well, hey, I might be able to see my first outside of Disney, outside of USA Disney Castle, because fun fact, a week of my and Savannah's honeymoon is planned for Italy. And, it's not looking good due to the old coronavirus. So we were quickly like, if we have to cancel flights and hotels, which we very well might, depending on what U.S. military policy is at the time for travel. Right now it's restricted. You can't actually travel in Italy. But unless that changes, we might have to redirect that portion of the honeymoon. And we're like, how about Paris? Paris, a day in Paris, then maybe spend a few days down, a few days down on the countryside in Provence. But, you know, if we're going to do that, the instant she's like, well, what about Paris? And I just look back at Savannah and she's like, Disney, right? I was like, yeah, so it's a consolation prize if we have to do that. Although unless depending on whether or not how many people give us refunds, it might be one day at Disney and every other day at a cheap Airbnb. But hey, that's OK. We'll have seen the the other Disney cast. We'll see. I don't know. That's a slight possibility.
Yeah, I think the one in Shanghai, I don't know. I know it was really impacted by everything with the coronavirus stuff. I know they closed for a bit, but I don't know that it's still closed.
Yeah.
But my wife and I actually had planned to go to the one in Shanghai a couple years ago. And
the Pirates of the Caribbean one looks... That Pirates of the Caribbean ride looks plans. Good. Yeah. Well, it'll be coming. I'm sure that in the course of this podcast, I'm sure there'll be a moment where we are live from one of the international Disney parks. And I got to say, watching the Parks documentary on Disney Plus is what really cemented my desire to see all of these parks over the course of my lifetime at some point. I think it'd be so cool.
Yeah.
Well, hey, that's going to wrap up another episode of the Mouse and Castle podcast. Mr. Aaron Goins, why don't you tell the people how they can follow us and also stay in touch with you on the old internets?
Well, you can follow us on Twitter. At Mouse and Castle. Is it just at Mouse and Castle?
Yep. Simple, super easy to follow. At Mouse and Castle.
At Mouse and Castle. You can find all of our episodes on iTunes. You can also leave us a review on iTunes. We've gotten some really nice reviews lately.
Yeah.
So if you haven't done that yet, we would really appreciate it. And you can... I'm blanking because you never make me do this.
Oh,
part.
I know. I did this totally like doing it. But it's the same username, I should say, as on Instagram as well. So at Mouse and Castle is a great place to. And we will probably be posting on the Bachelor Weekend trip. So you can follow there at Mouse and Castle, and of course at AV Goins. Make sure you follow Aaron.
Yes, and we'll definitely be posting some images of our exploits. And we're definitely hitting Galaxy's Edge. Mm-hmm. And Rise of the Resistance is on the list of things to do because I haven't done it yet.
Oh,
and so I'm excited
man.
To be able to do that for the first time, dude. Assuming we can get a boarding party.
Dude, you have no idea.
I know. You haven't told me. You haven't spoiled anything. I haven't been spoiled at all about this ride. So I'm really excited.
More so than Millennium Falcon Smuggler's Run, this ride is worth not spoiling because it's a unique experience that Disney Imagineering has never done before and never done on that scale. So if you're listening to the podcast, don't listen. Don't go watch the YouTube video. Don't do it. Just experience it for yourself. It's the most special to do that way.
Yes.
You can also shoot us an email. It is mouseandcastle@gmail.com. And of course, mouseandcastle.com is where you can find the links to our show notes, everything we've been talking about today in the podcast. And subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts, including, shout out, if you're a Spotify user, make sure you follow us and subscribe on Spotify. And of course, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, pretty much wherever you get podcasts, that's where you can follow and subscribe to Mouse and Castle. And I appreciate you listening. We will be back in a few weeks, probably debriefing our epic trip to Disney. And it's a big year, man. And it's like we got Star Wars celebrations coming up, and there's the big Star Wars event they're going to do in Anaheim. So that'll be nice. But until next time, thanks for listening. And may the castle always be in your favor. I don't know.
Makes no sense.
Beauty and the Beast. Which castle? Isn't that Anaheim that's Beauty and the Beast?
No, Sleeping Beauty?
Right? No, Sleeping Beauty. Oh, well, I was close.
Fact check it and edit it out if we're wrong.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. That's a show, sir. Might be the most awkward ending. I don't know. Maybe I'm resting.
No, we've had awkwarder endings.
We have. Okay, I feel better. Good.
More awkward.
Awkward.
And it is Sleeping Beauty, so you don't have to edit that out. Oh, I looked it up.
Thank God. All right, let me shut this thing off.